Order. Order. The house will come to order straight away. Order.
Bad news for railway workers on Hillside Road in Dunedin. Good news for financial consultants along the terrace in Wellington. First, the bad news from Transport Minister Stephen Joyce in answer to this question from Labour's Deputy Leader Annette King.
Why was the Prime Minister prepared to wine, dine, chauffeur, change the law and suck up to Warner Brothers to save jobs in the movie industry and now the gambling industry, but has turned his back on hard-working railway workers who can build wagons and carriages in New Zealand and keep their jobs?
The Honourable Stephen Joyce.
Mr Speaker, I think the important distinction the member hasn't made is the government often seeks to ease the regulatory burden on companies across the country to enable them to be more successful and help grow the economy.
The Honourable Annette King.
Question, Mr Speaker. Do the 400 people in Dunedin protesting last night at the loss of jobs and holding fears for the future of their local community have as much influence on the government's decision-making as overseas money interests who came to New Zealand, scooped up millions of dollars from a supplicant government and will leave with the cash as soon as the job is done?
The Honourable Stephen Joyce.
Mr Speaker, this is a slightly xenophobic tone appearing in some of these questions, but...
Point of order, the Honourable Annette
King. I take exception to that comment, Mr
Speaker.
Well,
order.
The Speaker rejected Mrs King's complaint.
The member, if she doesn't like that comment, should think about the comments she's included in her own questions.
Lockwood Smith then ruled that the opposition should refrain from using a word like privatisation in their questions, drawing this observation from Labour's finance spokesman, David Cunliffe.
Point of order, Mr Speaker. This may assist your reflection on an earlier ruling in relation to the use of the word privatisation and whether it was an emotive term. Mr Speaker, this document
order.
I seek leave order. To table...
No, order. I don't need that lecture from the member. He'll resume his seat.
Privatisation had been mentioned in a series of questions from Mr Cunliffe, answered by Stephen Joyce, containing some of that good news for financial consultants on the terrace.
Mr Speaker, can the Acting Minister tell the House how much he expects that middlemen and ticket clippers would cost the taxpayer if his privatisation agenda went ahead, given that in the Contact Energy sale alone, $32 million of taxpayers' money was spent in fees to consultants and bankers, and that officials yesterday told the FEC they estimate sales costs to be in the range of 2 to 5%. Of the asset value, which would be between 136 and $340 million.
The Honourable Stephen Joyce.
Well, Mr Speaker, I disagree with the member's question because it isn't a privatisation agenda.
Now from the chamber to the committee rooms and this report from Rhys Lyon.
A delegation from the Tuvaluan Parliament briefed the Foreign Affairs, Defence and Trade Committee, and the effect of climate change and rising sea levels was high on the mind of Tuvalu's parliamentary speaker, Suka Mutulatasi.
The trees are falling in the beach because of the erosion of the tide and all that. And with an island 3 meters above sea level, all around the nine islands, there's nothing we can do about it.
Sir Latasi said his nation wouldn't stand a chance in the face of a tsunami.
If such thing hit our group of islands, I don't think there is any time to flash a message that we are in trouble or what. Because within 5 or 10 minutes, everybody would be either drowned or floating and the land would be under water.
Sir Latasi said his government had appealed to other nations to address the issue, but felt all avenues had been exhausted.
If nothing can be done from your side, nothing we can do. We'll just live on as human beings and hope for the best that there's no tsunami that hits our island.
Later, Tuvalu's Minister of Natural Resources, Asaya Taia Itilele, pointed to another problem caused by climate change.
The Tuvalu waters are getting warmer than before, and this will cause the fish to migrate to other oceans where they are more comfortable adapted to.
About 25% of Tuvalu's GDP came from the fishing industry.
Tuvalu has got only one resource, none other than the ocean that we have. And should the fisheries sector is affected by global warming, that will be a decline in the earning or money coming in from the fisheries.
Tuvalu's Minister of Natural Resources, Asaya Taia Itelele, briefing the Foreign Affairs, Defence and Trade Committee during a visit by a delegation from the Parliament of Tuvalu.
That report from Rhys Lyon. I'm Tom Fruin, and this program is brought to you with funding from the Office of the Clerk.